قل إنما أعظكم بواحدة أن تقوموا لله مثنى وفرادى ثم تتفكروا ما بصاحبكم من جنة إن هو إلا نذير لكم بين يدي عذاب شديد.
Say to them, O Prophet, I give you but one counsel. Stand up for heaven's sake, singly and in pairs, and then think, what is it in your companion, to wit, Muhammad, peace be upon him, that could be deemed as madness? He is nothing but a warner, warning you before the coming of a grievous chastisement. Say to them, O Prophet, I give you but one counsel. Stand up for heaven's sake, singly and in pairs, and then think, what is it in your companion, to wit, Muhammad, peace be upon him, that could be deemed as madness? Here is an appeal being made to the unbelievers to rise above their interests, desires, and biases, and for them to give thought with open minds and purely for God's sake, as individuals and in groups, regarding the Prophet, peace be upon him. They should think and earnestly discuss why they brand him as insane, one whom they recognized only a short while earlier as a paragon of wisdom and integrity. After all, it was not long before Muhammad, peace be upon him, had proclaimed himself to be a prophet that the Meccans unanimously appointed him to arbitrate between the disputing parties on the question of installing the black stone in the Kaaba. The Meccans felt immensely satisfied when, thanks to Muhammad's wisdom, he was able to amicably resolve that dispute. Thus, they had witnessed at first hand the Prophet's wisdom and sagacity. What change took place in him after that, which then warranted that he be called a madman? It is a different matter to deny something out of obstinacy, but do you truly believe with your hearts that which you say with your tongues? He is nothing but a warner, warning you before the coming of a grievous chastisement. The unbelievers are asked, are they labeling the Prophet, peace be upon him, with insanity simply because he warned them that a grievous chastisement would come upon them? Do they think that the sign of a person's sanity is that when he sees his people rushing towards their doom, he applauds and encourages them to persist in so following this path of destruction they have chosen for themselves? Do they really think that he who warns people before things get really bad and who directs them to goodness in place of evil is insane?
قُلْ مَا سَأَلْتُكُمْ مِنْ أَجْرٍ فَهُوَ لَكُمْ إِنْ أَجْرِيَ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٍ.
Say to them, whatever recompense I might ask of you, it shall be yours. My recompense is with Allah, and He is a witness over everything. Say to them, whatever recompense I might ask of you, it shall be yours. We have translated this part of the verse as follows. Whatever recompense I ask of you shall be yours. In our opinion, this is one possible meaning of this part of the verse. However, it could also mean that the Prophet, peace be upon him, wanted no other recompense except that his people reformed themselves. If they did so, that was the recompense he sought. The same truth is propounded elsewhere in the Quran. Say to them, I ask of you no reward for my work. My only reward is that whoever so wills may follow the way leading to his Lord. Al-Furqan 25:57.
My recompense is with Allah, and He is a witness over everything.
Notwithstanding the baseless charges leveled at the Prophet, peace be upon him, by his opponents, God knows everything. He is a witness that the Prophet, peace be upon him, had pursued his mission selflessly and that he had no axe whatever to grind.
قُلْ إِنَّ رَبِّي يَقْذِفُ بِالْحَقِّ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ.
Say to them, my Lord hurls down the truth upon me. He knows fully all that lies beyond the range of perception.
Say to them, my Lord hurls down the truth.
The actual words are yaqdhifu bi'al-haq. One meaning of this is that God conveys true knowledge to the Prophet, peace be upon him, through revelation. A second meaning is that God makes the truth predominate by having it strike a crushing blow at falsehood.
قُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَمَا يُبْدِئُ الْبَاطِلُ وَمَا يُعِيدُ
Say, the truth has come and falsehood can neither originate nor recreate anything.
قُلْ إِنْ ضَلَلْتُ فَإِنَّمَا أَضِلُّ عَلَى نَفْسِي وَإِنِ اهْتَدَيْتُ فَبِمَا يُوحِي إِلَيَّ رَبِّي إِنَّهُ سَمِيعٌ قَرِيبٌ
Say, if I go astray, then the hurt of straying will come only upon me. But if I am rightly guided, that is only because of the revelation that my Lord makes to me. He is all-hearing, ever nigh.
Say, if I go astray, then the hurt of straying will come only upon me. But if I am rightly guided, that is only because of the revelation that my Lord makes to me. He is all-hearing, ever nigh.
Some people in our time misinterpret this verse, claiming that it affirms that the Prophet, peace be upon him, could go astray. In fact, they claim that he used to go astray. They further claim that since that was the case, God made the Prophet, peace be upon him, say that he himself was responsible for his straying whenever that happened. They claim, moreover, that he was rightly guided only when his Lord sent revelation, to wit, Quranic verses to him. Such people are thus trying, by means of this flawed interpretation, to show that the Prophet's life was a mixture of true guidance and error. The Quran, in their view, proclaimed this lest anyone decided to completely follow the Prophet, peace be upon him, under the mistaken notion that he was always on the right path. Even with an iota of common sense, and who takes into account the context in which the words, "if I go astray" occur, is bound to conclude that the statement should not be taken in its literal sense. What was being said, in effect, is, if the Prophet has gone astray, as they allege, and that if his claim to be a Prophet and his call to Tawheed have ensued from his straying, it is the Prophet rather than they who will face the dire consequences of straying. On the contrary, if he is rightly guided, which he indeed is, this is thanks to the revelation that comes to him from his Lord, whereby he receives true knowledge of the right way. His Lord is quite close to him. He hears everything. He fully knows whether the Prophet has gone astray or is rightly guided.
وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذْ فَزِعُوا فَلَا فَوْتَ وَأُخِذُوا مِنْ مَكَانٍ
If you could only see when the unbelievers will go about in a state of terror, they will have no escape and will be seized from a place near at hand.
If you could only see when the unbelievers will go about in a state of terror, they will have no escape and will be seized from a place near at hand.
On the last day, the culprits will be instantly captured as though someone was waiting in ambush for them. No one will be able to escape.
وَقَالُوا آمَنَّا بِهِ وَأَنَّا لَهُمُ التَّنَاوُشُ مِنْ مَكَانٍ بَعِيدٍ
They will then say, "We believe in it, but whence can they attain it from so far off a place?"
They will then say, "We believe in it."
That is, they will then profess belief in the teachings expounded by the Prophet, peace be upon him, in the world.
But whence can they attain it from so far off a place?
The unbelievers should have believed while they were in the world they have now left far behind. Once a person has set his foot in the hereafter, the opportunity to believe and repent is gone.
وَقَدْ كَفَرُوا بِهِ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَيَقْذِفُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ مِنْ مَكَانٍ بَعِيدٍ
They disbelieved in it before and indulged in conjectures from far away.
They disbelieved in it before and indulged in conjectures from far away.
The unbelievers leveled all kinds of accusations at the Prophet, peace be upon him, hurling a variety of mocking and taunting remarks his way. They variously called him a magician and a madman. On occasion, they even made fun of monotheism. On others, they made the hereafter the butt of their ridicule. They also fabricated fanciful stories about the Prophet, peace be upon him, one of them being that a particular person had taught him all that he expounded. They also scoffed at the believers, saying that they followed the Prophet, peace be upon him, out of ignorance and naivety.
وحيل بينهم وبين ما يشتهون كما فعل بأشياعهم من قبل إنهم كانوا في شك مريب.
A barrier will be placed between them and what they desire, as was done with the likes of them before. Surely they were in a disquieting doubt.
A barrier will be placed between them and what they desire, as was done with the likes of them before. Surely they were in a disquieting doubt.
It goes without saying that no one can embrace polytheism, atheism, and denial of the hereafter on grounds of absolute certainty. This because certainty comes from knowledge, and no one knows for sure that God does not exist, or that there are many gods, or that others have a share in God's divinity, or that it is impossible for the afterlife to occur. Those who entertain such notions have erected a whole structure merely on the basis of conjecture and speculation, which rests on nothing else but stark skepticism. This skepticism altogether misled them. Thanks to it, they became skeptical about God's existence, about the truth of monotheism, and about the imminence of the hereafter. They proceeded along this course until skepticism about the objects of belief changed into categorical negation. This took hold of their hearts so completely that they simply refused to accept the teachings of the prophets and wasted their lives in following a truly flawed way.